Please open your Bible to the book of Genesis in chapter 29. Genesis chapter 29. And we're going to start here with Jacob, and we're going to be looking at Joseph. But to get his background story, we'll start with his parents in chapter 29. Does this remember where we are in our placement? And so the promises had been made to Abraham, and then he had a son, Isaac. Isaac had a son, Jacob, also known as Israel, and he's about to have 12 sons. And here he is with Laban in Genesis chapter 29, and he's telling Laban what he will serve him for. Laban says, "Tell me, what shall your wages be?" And it says, "Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah. The name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were weak, but Rachel was beautiful in form and appearance. Jacob loved Rachel, and he said, 'I will serve you 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel.' Laban, the father of these two girls, says, 'It is better that I should give her to you than I should give her to any other man. Stay with me.' So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel." Verse 21, "Jacob said to Laban, 'Give me the wife that I may go into her, for my time is completed.' So Laban gathered together all the people of the place and made a feast. But in the evening, he took his daughter Leah and brought her to Jacob, and he went in to her." It's night, and she may have a veil on and this type of thing, and it's Leah. In the morning, behold, it was Leah. Jacob said to Laban, "What is this you have done to me? Did I not serve with you for Rachel? Why then have you deceived me?" Laban says, "It is not so done in our country to give the younger daughter before the firstborn." So it says, complete the week with her, and then you can have the younger one after all if you work another 7 years. So that's the new deal. But we have there in verse 31, "When the Lord saw Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah had child after child after child. And Rachel, the wife that Jacob loved, didn't." So, in chapter 30, when she saw that she bore Jacob no children, she envied her sister. She said, "Give me children or I die." And Jacob's anger is kindled against Rachel. And he said, "Am I in the place of God who has withheld from you the fruit of your womb?" And she says, "Here is my servant Bilhah. Go into her so that she may give birth on my behalf." So she gives a handmaid. Well, then later, of course, Leah is going to bring her handmaid into it as well. And there's lots of children born until we get to this point in verse 22. "Then God remembered Rachel, and God listened to her and opened her womb. She conceived and bore a son and said, 'God has taken away my reproach.' And she called his name Joseph." Later, she'll also have a younger brother for Joseph, Benjamin, and she will die in childbirth at that point. But Jacob will end up with 12 children. Now turn over to Genesis chapter 37. "Jacob lived in the land of his father's sojournings in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was pasturing the flock with his brothers. He was a boy with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives. Joseph brought a bad report of them to their father. Now Israel," that's Jacob, "loved Joseph more than any of his sons, because he was a son of his old age, and he made him a robe of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peacefully to him. So here's Joseph, and ugly and kind of dysfunctional as the scene may be, he's the special son, he's the honored son, he's the one that gets the colored coat. And so we have an honored son. We're going to put several details as we go through Joseph's life, and we'll see how they build as we study and read Joseph's life. Now, Joseph had a dream, and when he told him to his brothers, they hated him even more. Why? Well, here's the dream. Hear this dream that I have dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf rose alone and stood upright. And behold, your sheaves gathered round it and bowed down to my sheaf. His brother said, are you indeed to reign over us? Are you indeed to rule over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he had another similar one about the things in the sky. And so this is not sitting well at all with the older brothers. Verse 12. His brothers went to pasture their flock, father's flocks near Shechem. Israel, remember that's Jacob, said to Joseph, are not your brothers pasturing the flocks at Shechem? Come, I will send you to them. And he said, here I am. So he said, he sent him, and he said, go now, see if it is well with your brothers and with the flock, and bring me word. So he sent him to the valley of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a man found him wandering in the fields, and the man asked him, what are you seeking? He said, I'm seeking my brothers. And he said, tell me, please, where they are pasturing the flock. And the man said, they have gone away, for I heard them say, let's go down to Dothan. So Joseph went after his brothers and found them at Dothan. They saw him from afar, and before he came near to them, they conspired against him to kill him. If you ever seen jealousy between brothers, you know, it can get kind of intense. And when there's no favoritism, favoritism can be perceived. But when there is favoritism, and everybody can tell, this is the favored one, he gets a coat of many colors. And there's also an issue here, there's been some bad behavior on the part of these brothers. And when brothers are behaving badly, the last thing they want is for dad to find out. And they're particularly not going to enjoy it if favorite brother is the one that lets dad find out. And so we've got an honored son that is rejected by his brothers. And now there is a conspiracy to kill him. They see him coming. They said to one another, here comes this dreamer. Come now, let's kill him. Throw him into one of the pits. Then we'll say that a fierce animal has devoured him, and we'll see what comes of his dreams. But when Reuben heard it, he rescued him out of their hands, saying, let's not take his life. Reuben said to them, shed no blood. Throw him into this pit here in the wilderness, but don't lay a hand on him. Now, why did he say that? That he might rescue him out of their hand to restore him to their father. So Joseph came to his brothers. They stripped him of his robe, the robe of many colors that he wore. And they took him, and they threw him into a pit. The pit was empty. There was no water in it. So now we have an honored son that's been rejected by his brothers. There's a conspiracy to kill him. And now he is going to be stripped of a colorful robe. And he's going to be thrown into an empty hole in the ground. Then they sat down to eat. Looking up, they see a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead, their camels bearing gum, balm, myrrh, on their way to take it down to Egypt. Judah, remember this for later in the story, who's doing what? Who was it that says don't kill him and is planning to rescue him? That's Reuben. Here's Judah. Judah's not planning to rescue him. Judah said to his brothers, what profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites. Let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother, our own flesh. And his brothers listened to him. I don't know which part they listened to him more. He's our brother, our own flesh. Or the, why kill him when we can get some money for him? I think perhaps maybe the former. Then Midianite traders passed by, and they drew Joseph up, lifted him out of the pit, and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. And they took him to Egypt. So, he has been sold for silver. Reuben returned to the pit. He didn't see what happened. He comes back to the pit wanting to rescue him. But they've sold him. Reuben returned to the pit, saw that Joseph was not in the pit. He tore his clothes. He returned to his brothers and he said, the boy is gone, and I, where shall I go? So now, what do people have to do? Let me rephrase that. What do people tend to do after they behave badly? Find some way to redirect the blame, justify themselves, cast it in a different light, some way to not face up to what they've done. So they got to go back home sometime. And one of the boys is missing. And he's missing because they sold him into slavery. Well, his absence needs to be explained. So they took Joseph's robe, slaughtered a goat, dipped the robe in blood, and they sent the robe of many colors and brought it to their father and said, this we found. Please identify whether it's your son's robe or not. He identified it. And he said, it is my son's robe. A fierce animal has devoured him. Joseph is without doubt torn to pieces. Then Jacob tore his garments, put on sackcloth on his loins, and mourned for his son many days. All his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted and said, no, I shall go down to Sheol, the grave. I shall go down to Sheol to my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. Meanwhile, the Midianites had sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard. And you know what happens next. Joseph, behaving himself well, having been sold into slavery, whoever's in charge, whether we're talking about a business or a master over slaves or various things, do you notice the people that do a good job? Do you notice the people that have integrity? Do you notice the people that are honest? Do you notice the ones you can trust? What do you do when you're in a supervisory position? What are you inclined to do with the ones that you realize are capable, trustworthy, reliable, and have integrity and do a good job? You give them more responsibility. Happened that time that Judah went down and his brothers, that's 38. We want to jump ahead to 39. Joseph had been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. The Lord was with Job, and he became a successful man and was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him, and he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he made him overseer his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessings of the Lord was on all that he had, the house and the field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge. Because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food that he ate. He could just delegate it to Joseph. The Lord's with him. Not only is Joseph being blessed, Potiphar is being blessed. And he just got that confidence in Joseph. Joseph was also handsome in form and appearance. And after time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph. And she starts telling him to lie with her. He refused. He said to his master's wife, "Behold, because of me, your master has commanded, has no concern about anything in the house, and he has put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except you, because you're his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness?" Notice what Joseph says here. "And sin against God." Joseph realizes it would be a sin against Potiphar. He's just talked about where Potiphar has put him and entrusted all these things to him, everything except you. You're his wife. He doesn't want to sin against Potiphar, but what is more ultimately important even than that, he said, "How can I do this thing and sin against God?" By the way, how old was he back when this episode started, in the dreams and everything? 17. Now, at this point, having been at some point the brother's jealous and he's sold down into Egypt and he's been down here, this is a young man who would have an interest in women. And here's a woman just throwing herself at him. What does he do when he faces temptation? He did the right thing. He withstood. One day, he went into the house to do his work. None of the men were there in the house. She caught him by the garment, said, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and got out of the house, which is just a prime example of what Paul told the Corinthians to do, was flee fornication. And that's literally what he did. He got himself out of there. Well, Potiphar's love for Joseph was not love. It was lust. And when he didn't do what she wanted, she now accused him of attacking her, and he's going to end up in prison. You know what's going to happen in prison. There's going to be two fellas in there that had served under Pharaoh, and they have dreams, and he's going to interpret the two dreams. One's going to be restored to his position, and the other is going to be executed. And what happens? One is restored and the other is executed. And Joseph says, "Remember me to Pharaoh." While he's in prison, again, he's faithful. And so what happens within the prison? He begins, you know, we have in prison, we have trustees that are given more responsibility and stuff. Which inmates are going to be made trustees? The ones that are behaving, the ones that are doing well. Well, Joseph ends up being entrusted within the prison system as well. But when Pharaoh's servant gets out, he doesn't originally remember that until later. Chapter 41, after two whole years, Pharaoh dreamed he was standing by the Nile. Behold, there came up out of the Nile seven cows, and they're nice and plump and fat, and then they're going to be eaten by the seven skinny cows, and then a similar agricultural dream. What does that mean? Well, the servant ends up saying, "Oh, yes." You ever had one of those times where you were supposed to give somebody a message? You know, it's like, "Oh, by the way, there's a fella in prison." Joseph is brought out, interprets the dream. He says there's going to be 7 years of famine after 7 years of plenty. So 7 years of plenty and then the 7 years of famine. Use this time to get ready for the famine. Look at chapter 41, verse 37. The proposal pleased Pharaoh and all his servants. Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find a man like this in whom is the Spirit of God?" Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has shown you all this, there is none so discerning and wise as you are." The credit is given to God, like Daniel will do later. "You shall be over my house, and all my people shall order themselves as you command. Only as regards the throne will I be greater than you." And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand and clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck, made him ride in his second chariot, and called out before him, "Bow the knee." Thus he set him over all the land of Egypt. Moreover, Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no one shall lift up hand or foot in all the land of Egypt." And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paniah, and he gave him in marriage to Aseneth, the daughter of Potipharah, the priest of On. So Joseph went out over the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went through all the land of Egypt. During the 7 plentiful years, the earth produced abundantly, and he gathered up all the food of these 7 years, which occurred in the land of Egypt, and put the food in the cities, these store cities, and they're ready. He stored up in great abundance. Well, after the famine comes, other places don't realize the famine's coming, so they hadn't gotten ready. So other people are suffering, and they don't have food. There's plenty of food in Egypt. Guess where Joseph's brothers are? They're still back in the land of Canaan with their father Jacob, who thinks his youngest, not youngest son, but the oldest son of Rachel, had been devoured and killed by a beast, torn by a beast. But this is years later, and they're hungry, and they've heard what? There's food in the land of Egypt. Chapter 42, when Jacob learned that there was grain for sale in Egypt, he said to his sons, "Why do you look at one another?" He said, "Behold, I've heard that there is grain for sale in Egypt. Go down and buy grain for us, that we may live and not die." So 10 of Joseph's brothers went down to buy grain in Egypt. But Jacob did not send Benjamin, Joseph's brother. That's the other boy born to Rachel and be the baby of the family. For he feared the harm that might happen to him. Thus the sons of Israel came down to buy among the others who came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. Now Joseph was governor over the land. Oh, and by the way, notice he has resisted temptation. He has been faithful, and he has risen to the right hand of the king. Now, here come the brothers. Verse 6, Joseph was governor over all the land. He was the one who sold to all the people of the land. Joseph's brothers came and bowed themselves before him, with their faces to the ground. Joseph saw his brothers and recognized them, but he treated them like strangers and spoke roughly to them. "Where did you come from?" They said, "From the land of Canaan to buy food." Joseph recognized his brothers, but they did not recognize him. This would be easy to understand. Think of somebody you haven't seen for years. If you see a group of people that you'd seen years ago, you could recognize them. There's him, there's her, there's him, there's her. They look a little older, you know. But that's them. Here's one person you haven't seen for years. Even if you noticed, you know, there might be some general similarities, how are the brothers still dressed? Like Hebrews. How's Joseph dressed? He'd be in the form of an Egyptian. And as you can tell as you go through the story, when they're talking to each other in their language, Joseph can understand it, but they don't realize it because they're using a translator. So here's this Egyptian-speaking, Egyptian-dressed fellow. If it even occurred to them that maybe, hey, he's got eyes or nose kind of like Joseph is, you'd never, ever think that's Joseph. But he can easily tell who they are. And without reading all the details, you'll remember what happens. He speaks to them roughly and accuses of being spies. They're, no, we're not spies. You know, we're brothers, and we were sent down here. And as they're telling their background story, they say, we are servants. This is verse 13. We are servants of 12 brothers, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. Behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is no more. Joseph said, it's as I said to you, you're spies. And they're trying to plead with him and such. And then in verse 18, on the third day, Joseph said, do this and you will live, for I fear God. You're honest men. Let one of your brothers remain confined where you are in custody. Let the rest go and carry grain. So Simeon is left. Now, notice what Reuben says in verse 22. Did I not tell you not to sin against the boy, but you did not listen? In fact, starting back in verse 21, and they're discussing this, not knowing that the Egyptian over there can hear them. Verse 21, they said to one another, in truth, we're guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the distress of his soul, and when he begged us, we did not listen. That is why this distress has come upon us. Reuben answered them, did I not tell you? You know, this is a good time. You know, didn't I tell you? They kind of have this coming. Didn't I tell you not to sin against the boy? But you did not listen. So now there comes a reckoning for his blood. They did not know that Joseph understood them, for there was an interpreter. Joseph turned away and wept. But he takes Simeon and he says, you got to leave one of you here. We'll see if you've got a younger brother. You come back with him. Since everybody else there, Simeon stuck there. As they go, then they find the money that they had paid for the grain. It's in their satchels. Joseph had ordered it to be put there. Now they're scared. They go back and they talk to Jacob. And they said, the man, dropping down there to verse 30, the man, the Lord of the land, spoke roughly to us, took us to be spies of the land. But we said, we're honest men. We have never been spies. We're 12 brothers, sons of one father. One is no more. The youngest is this day with our father in the land of Canaan. Then the man, the Lord of the land, said to us, by this I shall know that you're honest men. Leave one of your brothers with me. Take grain home for your households. Go your way. Bring your youngest brother with me. Then I shall know that you are not spies. But, of course, they've got the money. They're afraid. Jacob said, you have bereaved me of my children. Joseph is no more. Simeon is no more. And now you would take Benjamin. All this has come against me. Reuben said to his father, kill my two sons if I do not bring him back to you. Put him in my hands. I will bring him back to you. But he said, my son shall not go down with you. For his brother is dead, and he is the only one left. If harm should happen to him on the journey that you are to make, you would bring my gray hairs with sorrow to Sheol. But you know what? After a while, all the food was gone. And you need food. If you don't have any food, I mean, you know, Benjamin needs food too. Jacob needs food. Everybody needs food. The famine was severe in the land, chapter 43. When they had eaten the grain that they had brought from Egypt, the father said to them, go again, buy us a little food. Judah said, the man solemnly warned us, saying, you shall not see my face unless your brother is with you. If you will send your brother with us, we will go down to buy you food. But if you will not send him, we will not go down. For the man said to us, you shall not see my face unless your brother is with you. Israel said, Jacob, why did you treat me so badly as to tell the man that you had another brother? You know, they were trying to explain who they were and be open. And I said, you shouldn't have told him. They replied, the man questioned us carefully about ourselves and our kindred, saying, is your father still alive? Do you have another brother? What we told him in the way was in answer to these questions. Could we in any way know that he would say, bring your brother down? Judah said to Israel's father, send the boy with me, and we will rise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and you and also our little ones. I will be a pledge of his safety. For my hand you shall require him. If I do not bring him back to you and set him before you, then let me bear the blame forever. And then he says this, if we had not delayed, we would have now returned twice. You ever had that kind of thing going on? There's something that needs to be done, and there's kind of squabbling, bickering, discussing, well, what are we worrying about? Well, what about that? Well, what about with this? And he said, we all could have been there and back by now. twice if we just go ahead and do this. This is what we need to do. Then their father Israel said, if it must be so, then do this. Take some of the choice fruits of the land in your bags. Carry a present down to the man, a little balm, a little honey, gum, myrrh, pistachio nuts, almonds. Take double the money with you. Carry back with you the money that was returned in the mouth of your sacks. Perhaps it was an oversight. Take also your brother and rise and go to the man. May God Almighty grant you mercy before the man, and may he send you back and your other brother and Benjamin. And as for me, if I am bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. So they go back. Joseph arranges to have dinner with them. Verse 27, he inquired about their welfare and he said, is your father well, the old man of whom you spoke, is he still alive? He said, your father is well, he is alive. And they bowed down their hands and prostrated themselves. He lifted up his eyes and he saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, is this your youngest son? Excuse me, brother, of whom you spoke to me. God be gracious to you, my son. Then Joseph hurried out, for his compassion grew warm for his brother, and he sought a place to weep. So he sees Benjamin. He can't control himself, so he gets out quickly. He cries. Entered his chamber and wept there. Then he washed his face, got his composure, and he came back out. Controlling himself, he said, serve the food. They served him by himself and them by themselves, Egyptian and the Egyptians who ate with him by themselves, because the Egyptians could not eat with the Hebrews, for that's an abomination to the Egyptians. And they sat before him, the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And the men looked at one another in amazement. Portions were taken to them from Joseph's table, but Benjamin's portion was five times as much as any of theirs. And they drank, and they were merry with him. Then he commanded the steward of the house, fill the men's sacks with food, as much as they can carry. Put each man's money in the mouth of his sack. Put my cup, the silver cup, in the mouth of the sack of the youngest with his money for the grain. They did as Joseph told him. As soon as it was morning, the men were sent away with their donkeys. They had gone only a short distance from the city. Now Joseph said to the steward, up, follow after the men, and when you overtake them, say, why have you repaid evil for good? So they go back and catch them. And they say, look what you've done. And they say, you know, they think, we haven't done anything. They start looking inside the stuff. And there's the money. And there's what? Joseph's cup. Guess where Joseph's cup has been put? In Benjamin's bag. So they're brought back. Verse 14, when Judah's brothers came to Joseph's house, he was still there. They fell to the ground. Joseph said to them, what deed is this that you have done? Do not you know that a man like me can indeed practice divination? And Judah said, what shall we say to you, my lord? What shall we speak, or how can we clear ourselves? God has found out the guilt of your servants. Behold, we are your lord's servants, both we and he also in whose hand the cup has been found. But he said, far be it from me that I should do so. Only the man in whose hand the cup was found shall be my servant. But as for you, go up in peace to your father. There's a character test here. What's he just offered him? You can go free. Now, I'm not going to get y'all, but the one who's got my cup, he's my servant now. But the rest of you can go. Now, if these were still the same 12, the same brothers as before, the same 10 brothers as before, what would they have done? Before, let's kill him. Before, well, let's get some money and sell him into slavery. Now, hey, we can get Simeon back. We can go. Who's Benjamin? did have to go back and tell Jacob. Judah. Remember, Judah was the one that said, hey, why killing him when we get some money for him? Judah went up to him and said, oh, my Lord, please let your servant speak a word in my Lord's ears. Let not your anger burn against your servants, for you are like Pharaoh himself. My Lord asked his servant, saying, have you a father or brother? And we said to my Lord, we have a father, an old man, and a young brother, the child of his old age. His brother is dead. He alone is left of his mother's children, and his father loves him. Then you said to your servants, bring him down to me that I may set my eyes on him. We said to my Lord, the boy cannot leave his father, for if he should leave the father, his father would die. Then you said to your servants, unless your youngest brother comes down with you, you shall not see my face again. When we went back to your servant, my father, we told him the words of my Lord. And when our father said, go again, buy us a little food, we said, we cannot go down if our youngest brother goes with us. Then we will go down, for we cannot see the man's face unless our younger brother is with us. Then your servant, my father, said to us, you know that my wife bore me two sons. One left me, and I said, surely has been torn to pieces, and I have never seen him since. If you take this one also from me and harm happens to him, you will bring down my gray hairs in evil to Sheol. Now, therefore, as soon as I come to your servant, my father, and the boy is not with us, then as his life is bound up in the boy's life, as soon as he sees the boy is not with us, he will die. And your servants will bring down the gray hairs of your servant, our father, with sorrow to Sheol. For your servant became a pledge of safety for the boy to my father, saying, if I do not bring him back to you, then I shall bear the blame before my father all my life. Remember, Judah said this to Jacob. Now, therefore, please let your servant, Judah's offering himself now, let your servant remain instead of the boy as a servant to my Lord, and let the boy go back with his brothers. For how can I go back to my father if the boy is not with me? I fear to see the evil that would find my father. There was another ugly chapter about Judah we didn't look at. But Judah's a better man now than Judah was when we first saw him. Judah's in the group that hates Joseph. They're talking about killing him. Judah says, hey, let's make some money off him. Let's sell him off into slavery. He doesn't care about his brother. He acknowledges, you know, he is our brother. Let's not kill him, but let's sell him into slavery. And now what's Judah doing? For Benjamin, who, guess what? Why did they hate Joseph in part? Because they knew his father preferred him. He was from the favorite wife. Guess who else the father preferred? Benjamin. But do you see the jealousy and the animosity this time? You see what? He said, I'll be the pledge. And now he's pleading with the man, no, you take me. Which means everything that was Judah's is going to be gone. He's not going to see his family. He's losing everything to do what? Just let the boy go back so my father doesn't have this sorrow again. Do you suppose that when they saw how much they had hurt Jacob the first time, it seemed more serious to them when they were originally coming up with their plan? How many times do people get into sin and they don't realize how bad it's going to be and how much it's going to hurt other people? But they saw how that crushed their father the first time. And Judah doesn't want to put his father through that again. So he offers himself. And he passed the test. Chapter 45, as we wind up our lesson, just the beginning of it. Joseph could not control himself. before all those who stood by him. He cried, "Make everyone go out for me." So no one would stay with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. He wept aloud so that the Egyptians heard it, and all the household of Pharaoh heard it. And Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" Now, these guys have been back and forth. They're trying to figure out what happened with the money. They're trying to negotiate with their father about Benjamin coming, everything else. And then the cup showed up, and they don't know what's going on, but they figure God's bringing all this on us. We're getting payback for what we did, you know, years ago. And now, of all things, the Lord of Egypt says, "I'm Joseph." They were dismayed. Joseph said to his brothers, "Come near to me, please." And they came near, and he said, "I am your brother, Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now be not distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. God sent me before you to preserve life." He inquires again about his father. His father comes. All the people of Israel come down to the land of Egypt. And before Joseph dies, and at the end of the book, he'll be mummified apparently, and he says, "Take my bones with you when you go back." And many, many years later, when Moses leads the children out, they take Joseph's bones back. Amazing story of Joseph. But you'll probably also have noticed these points here are repeated in the New Testament, aren't they? Where you have an honored son rejected by his brothers. There is a conspiracy to kill him. He's stripped of a colorful robe. Remember, they put the robe on him, mocking him as being king, and then they pull it off again. He's thrown into an empty grave in the ground. He had been sold for silver, but he had resisted temptation. He was faithful, and he's not left in the pit, and he rises to the right hand of the king. A big difference is that at the end of Genesis, Joseph is a mummy. At the end of the Gospels, the tomb is empty. Thank you for your attention this evening. If anybody needs to respond to the song of invitation, won't you do so as you stand and sing?